This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock.
Good morning.
What you doing over there?
Just contemplating the nice day today we're going to have.
Contemplating the nice day. Sitting in the parking lot watching the crane guy building the building next to us.
Exactly.
Yeah. How cool is that? So, anyway. Folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. Here we are, you know, it's November 20th. You know what next week is?
Yeah.
It's Car Thanksgiving.
I can't believe how fast this year went.
It's quick, huh? It's going to be 2022, believe it or not.
I know I turned 50 years old this year, too.
Oh, you're old, dude.
I know. I know. I'm still young. I mean, you know, a lot of people look and go, he's young. But, you know, this was kind of a crazy year for me, but it went really quickly for me too. At the same time, I'm surprised it went as fast as it did.
Everything's been going so fast, man. You look back and I mean, as we get into this year, 2022, the beginning, February, March, It's been 2 years since COVID lockdown. You know what I mean? It will have been 2 years. So things like, yeah, you're right. Going by fast. Let's get on by this because seems to be lingering.
You know, the weird thing is the corona thing. I mean, because doing the job I did, it didn't affect my job.
Well, and cars didn't get COVID.
No, and being that I worked, you know, kind of even in the shop by myself anyways, it's not like, you know.
In your area, yeah.
Yes. So. And then me and the wife are more into being outdoor stuff anyways, so we were still doing off-roading stuff and stuff like that. Yeah. So to us, it didn't really, I mean, compared to what a lot of people would probably did affect a lot more. You know what I'm saying? So I felt pretty blessed getting through this.
No, I get you. I get you for sure. Everybody's moving on and things are getting better too for everybody else. Yeah, it was a tough time for some people, but luckily some of us weren't too affected by it. You're right. And cars, they didn't get COVID and they kept driving. So we continued on doing our thing.
Yes.
So. All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. Give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. What are we talking about today besides COVID? Proper information to get your vehicle fixed right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, you're trying to find it on your phone. You don't know what we're talking about today.
No, actually.
You're unprepared.
I did read them all. Oh. I wasn't just sure which ones we were doing first.
Oh, gotcha.
Did you want me to print out next time? Like you can send whatever you're talking about to me in my email and I'll print it out for Kevin if you want.
I print mine out. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I can print it out for Kevin next time. You know?
I will send it and then you can print it for Kevin. That way he doesn't have to look on his phone.
Yeah, okay.
Because one, he forgets his reading glasses. Then he can't find it on his phone. And he doesn't know where the email was that I sent him. And
I did not know he wears reading glasses at all. Anyways, he never brings them.
Okay, well.
That's why you can't see what's going on ever.
Well, I started losing my eyesight. I mean, just, you know, reading wise, as I get older, I just noticed.
No.
And this year, I had some things going on with my health and stuff my doctor had me on. Like, that part of my eyesight went, goodbye. And I was like, I had good days and bad days. Now it's like, every day is a bad day for my eyes. So,
yeah, that's true. Well, it's one of those things that hits you, man, and it just it gets harder. That's why you do this. Just back up. From
I used
everything.
To be able to do that. That's the thing. Away. I can't do that anymore. Even though they get back, it keeps staying blurry. So you know, it's okay. And supposedly that'll kind of come back, but I don't know because of my age.
It's probably not going to. I'll be honest with you.
Well, no, I mean, other than, you know what, other than reading, like, you know, just small print right in your face, or, you know, if it's too dark or whatever, something like that, my eyes are fine.
Oh, you're not telling me nothing I don't know. Trust me.
So if that's the worst I got to deal with, I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. All right, folks. So we're talking about anything you want to talk about automotive related. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. As you're listening to Auto Talk Radio here on and you know, although we sidetracked on reading site, but all of us get there. Kind of like and you need to maintain them. I don't think there's anything you can do for eyesight like that for that kind of eyesight thing. There's no laser or nothing like that.
Well, actually, I think you can do laser surgery or whatever to fix that kind of stuff. But this is the thing. So. You can only do it once. From what I hear, you can only do laser surgery once anyways.
Gotcha.
So
unlike repairs on a car that we can do over and over if there's a problem.
Yeah, I'd rather wait until like 65, 70 if I was going to do something like
that. Okay. Great. So have you ever had a noise or vibration that you had trouble describing in your automobile to your professional that fixes your car? We're going to talk about ways to help you get that vehicle noise and vibration described to a professional like us at the West Automotive Group in order to assist both. Because, you know, here's the thing about noises and vibrations sometimes. You can drive a vehicle and there's a noise as a technician and you go, wow, that's a terrible noise. You listen, I can track that down. And then you ride with the customer like, no, not that noise. That noise. Have you ever had that happen to you, Kevin?
Multiple times.
True.
I will say I personally do like a recreation with my own voice. So I'll go
what
to like
what kind of noises have you had on your car, Brendan?
So here's what one of the noise goes. and then all the people look at me weird in the room like, what is wrong with this man in here?
Jeez. Wait a minute. I've driven one of the cars that Brandon's driving, and that's what it sounds like going down the road just from the factory, though. So
they made it way. It was a Yugo.
Hey.
Yugo. I like that.
There was really a car called a Yugo.
Oh, really? No way. Okay, I didn't know that.
I knew because he was so young that he's like, oh, Yugo. He thinks it's a funny thing. Now he's Google boxing it right now.
Couldn't you buy that car brand new on the showroom floor for like $1,500?
No,
like
$39.95.
Okay.
And it was in about 1986 or 85 or 86 they first came out.
It was something cheap, though. You could buy a brand new car and everybody, you know
it
what?
It was called a Yugo. It was $3,995 brand new on the, and it, we flipped one over once.
And then the Hyundai took that over.
Yeah, the Hyundai's way more expensive.
So that would only be, I'm looking up for inflation reasons, only $11,000 now. So
oh, yeah.
That
no,
is
it was
really cheap.
And you wonder why they're no longer in business.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, the car was
that was the first throwaway car ever.
It was
entered
a throwaway car. There's no question about it, man. It was like, so it had a Renault engine and transmission in it.
It was made by in Soviet Union, right?
No, it was Yugoslavian.
Okay,
Yugoslavian. It was Yugo. It was Yugoslavian. So it had a Renault transmission and engine in it, and the rest of the car was just a poop box. I mean, it was thin. It was Thin Lizzy. Although should have been called Thin Lizzy because the doors were like 3 pounds each or something. Like they were, the car was just, it's not a good car. And working on them was not. Did you ever work on one?
I did a clutch in one time. And then I remember being.
The clutch repair cost more than the entire car.
You know, I don't remember. It was so long ago. I don't think the car was that old. I think it was only a couple years old. And then, I mean, obviously, because, you know, standard clutches is something you got to, you know what I mean? Some people go out and buy standard clutches and they never knew how to drive one. And then they realize that was a bad idea. So.
Yeah, so those cars were something else. Brendan didn't believe me that car exists.
Is he over there Googling?
He thought I was messing with
him. I am. It literally says everywhere I look, it says worst car ever in history over and over.
Well, you know, what do you get brand new for $3,900?
I don't know.
When it comes to a car.
Oh, it was, okay. With the car?
Not much.
Transmission, possibly?
Yeah, that's about the cost of a transmission on a good car.
Can you even get a transmission that cheap anymore?
Oh yeah.
No, not anymore now. But I'm saying like when we had adjusted prices.
No, there's plenty of transmissions that are less than $3,900 area. That's you know, anywhere $29.
Yeah, but I was talking about the time you install it, put fluid in it, you know what I mean? Okay. Things add up. So.
But my point is that a transmission on a car, a regular car, costs more than that car did new.
Yeah.
And that car was a pile of bolts. the Yugo. I'm telling you, it was the worst. But like he said, Google it, worst car ever.
It was like Hyundai when they first started making their little Hyundais. What was it, in 86? You remember the little first, was it the Elantra they made? What was that? You remember?
It was still a way better car than a Yugo.
No, but I'm saying it was still a throwaway car kind of though, because you know what I mean? But you could buy that car dirt cheap and get 3 or 4 years out of it.
That was the worst car ever when you saw it come in for smog, because it was a carbureted Hyundai they first started out with. That little, it was a, was it a Elantra or a?
I can't remember what it was. It was like a two-door little thing. But you know what? If think about this. If you were in that, like a college kid or a parents just getting started out or whatever. That was a perfect car to get you around for 3 or 4 years, get back and forth to school, because most young parents are still going to school, or you know what I'm saying? Just that kind of scenario. That was a good, it's not a car you're going to buy and keep for 20 years, but it was a good car to, you know what I'm saying?
I will say, I just looked it up, the Yugo. There was a 1988 one that was sold on eBay for $7,000, and it just got sold last week, so... I mean, that's a pretty average price, I would say, for a used car now. Honestly, I would say $7,000 or so for
it sold for double what it was new.
Yeah, so
you have to be pretty desperate to buy that car. I'm going to be honest with you. Finding parts for that car is another thing too, for sure. So, but the first Hyundai sold was an Excel. That's a little two-door car.
That'd be sound right.
In the U.S. I don't know about any place else.
But no, but they were really popular in like 86 because...
They were cheap.
Yeah.
They're cheap. Well, that I think the Yugo only had like a 2 or 3 year run and the company went bankrupt.
Yeah, it didn't. That one didn't pan out.
Didn't last long at all. No, so...
There was a bunch of those little companies that pop up like that. What was that one in Escondido? La Frenza or something like that where they were buying the Italian...
Was that
Italian,
Forza?
Yeah, and they were buying the Italian bodies of like a SUV... And then they were using the Ford motor and powertrain they were doing out of, I think, Escondido.
There was that. And then the Monster Miata people were up there in Escondido.
They were in that same building, too, huh?
Interesting car thing. Yeah, I think actually the guy that owned that company that did the Monster Miata, I think he went to prison for murder or something like that eventually. So, let's not be killing people while you're making cars. It's a bad idea.
I wasn't talking about the person's insanity. I mean, even a Howard Hughes was a little wacko.
Well, he was a different kind of guy. But, so cars like that have an interesting, a lot of interesting stuff about them for sure. But, I don't know. I don't know if they were, were they doing the La Forza there?
Yes, they did.
Oh, okay. So they did that. I knew they were Monster Miata where they were putting V8 motors, 302s in Miatas. They were doing that. And
Bought all those Italian bodies because that place, that Italian company went out of business. He bought all them shells because I remember when they lined all them cars up. It was like a football field of cars.
So they had like chassis, but no
engines.
No powertrains.
Yes.
Interesting. I remember those cars. I don't remember. I've never worked on one, so
I don't know what you'd do with it anyways. I mean, because even if I bought the car,
can't buy parts for it. Well, there's got to be a part somewhere for it.
Well, somebody has. Yeah, but yeah.
All right, folks, give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. We're going to take our first break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and Cape Race. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. We appreciate you joining us this morning as we're talking everything automotive, for sure. Right?
Sure.
Or in eyesight. Automotive and eyesight. That's what we've been talking today.
Well, let's face it. Eyesight has a lot to do with automotive because...
You can't see it. You can't fix it,
well,
right?
Then the DMV will agree with me on this. And just
That has to do with driving.
Well, I'm just saying. It's got to do with cars, though. That connects to AAA and that... I don't think there's any aspect in your life, really, that car doesn't... I mean, honestly, I mean...
That cars or eyes don't touch.
Well, I mean, even if you don't really drive yourself, I mean, a car probably brought you something. You know what I'm saying? So, or truck or what, you know what I mean?
True.
So, you know, unless you're like totally off the grid, but...
True, true. I was just watching the Aztec Stadium that they're building where Qualcomm used
to be. That's awesome, isn't
it? It's on TV, and I was like, huh, that's interesting.
So, but did you see how much tickets are for a football game? Jeez Louise.
No, okay, let's not ruin the moment now.
Sorry, my bad.
No, I just saw that it's on budget, and for fall, on time and on budget, it said. So, interesting.
Such a rarity in our society that anything's on time and on budget.
Well, on budget's a real rarity.
I got to tell you this, though. SDSU is not really, I mean, it's a great school, but you don't hear about it like you hear about some schools. You know what I mean? Or it didn't get the attention.
I don't know. Their baseball team kicked butt last year, didn't it, Brennan?
Yeah, uh-huh. But yeah, I am on his side. I think San Diego State doesn't get good enough reputation as it is.
It doesn't. You know why I think that, though?
Actually, you mean to say good enough notoriety.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Because everybody knows who Ole Miss is, or everybody knows who Ohio State is, but you say the word SDSU sometimes in other parts of the country, and they're like, what?
South Dakota State University? Is that what you're talking about?
Dakota State University.
I just think that they're a better school than what they get recognition for is all I'm saying.
I get it. All right, folks. I don't know. I'm not an expert on colleges. That's for sure.
I don't know why they don't. I'm just saying. I'm not the expert neither. I don't think they get it.
Thanks for joining us here at Auto Talk Radio this morning, where we're talking everything. Stadiums, eyesight, cars, you know, whatever you want to throw in here. And Yugos, which I never thought I would ever be talking about again, a Yugo. So I don't know how that happened, but here we are.
We're talking about cars, everything.
Everything and anything car-wise. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group. Which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified up in North County, taking care of folks now for over 28 years. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and SMOG certified, taking care of folks out in East County now for over 8 years. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in Central San Diego over there, taking care of folks for over 4 years, AAA approved and SMOG certified. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission at 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, right in the Golden Triangle. AAA approved and STAR certified for SMOG, taking care of folks over there for over 2 years now. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, my employees, and everybody come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on our approved credit. There to help you out. You can use it anytime. Get a West Automotive Group card and you can save your other cards. And also 6 months no interest on all repairs. Get if you're having a transmission problem, take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis, where we can get your vehicle diagnosed properly by the professionals versus throwing parts at cars. We see all too many vehicles come in that have had repairs done that didn't fix the problem they were trying to do. And replacing a transmission is an expensive endeavor if that doesn't fix your problem. So make sure and get in, hop online, westautomotivegroup.com, get an appointment. We'll get you in, do the CertiCare transmission diagnosis. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home and low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations. Go to West Automotive Group. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and we send out little tweets or messages all throughout the week that automotive-related, just cool stuff to know. It's very helpful. You can also check out The Auto Man, where I'm The Auto Man on the CW on Wednesday mornings and Fox 5 on Wednesday mornings, the CW on Friday mornings and Friday evening news around that time. So just go to westautomotivegroup.com and you can check it out, or Auto Talk Radio, where you can find out. We put all our podcasts there every week afterwards. They're all posted. So good stuff. westautomotivegroup.com, and you can make appointments, get in, get your vehicle serviced, etc. Find out all about us. Once again, that's westautomotivegroup.com. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But this morning, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. Let's go to Lloyd in San Diego. He wants to talk about some Yugos. What's up, Lloyd?
How you doing, guys?
Doing amazing. How about you, my friend?
Oh, been doing okay. Been calling you every occasionally. Last time I called, I was looking at a Cadenza or some other car. End up getting a Malibu. So
there you go. I remember talking about that. You were trying to decide which car to get, huh?
Yeah, it was. Oh, I think it was. Well, it was the Volt or Cadenza. I think that's what it was. But I went out, took a look, and I've been selling cars for 25 years. Started about a year after I retired from the Navy in '96.
Gotcha.
And one of the favorite cars I ever had was a Gen 8 Malibu. And I'm out looking at Cadenzas and Volts, and I see a 15 Malibu LT with only 30-something thousand miles on it, candy apple red almost.
Nice.
So you got to have that one.
There you go.
But it's funny. I've had about 80 cars, and I've been selling for 25 years. And you see, you mentioned Hugo brought me back. I remember in 86, I bought a brand-new Nissan Pulsar.
Oh, yeah.
In the Navy station, and they had to flip up-down lights, right?
Yep.
Up in Whidbey Island area in the Navy in Washington State, and I had to move to Memphis for some schools. And it came up the 10 or 20,000, I don't know, mile checkup on that Pulsar. And it was like $900 for the first service on that. and I said, $900, man, that's about how much the Navy's paying me. So I went down and said, I'm going to trade this sucker in on one of these 3990 Yugos.
Yeah.
I get in the sale room. Oh, it's so simple. Anyone can work on it. You'll never pay $900 maintenance on this. And well, I end up keeping the Pulsar, but that just brought me back.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's back. So you were you said Memphis. You were in Millington, I presume, for school. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Went down there for C7, AEC 7 school. Yeah.
Gotcha. I was an AS
in school back in the 70s.
Yep. That's where I went to A school at when I was in the Navy, actually, was in Millington. Because I was in the Air Wing for the Navy also.
I'm going to guess you were an AD?
No, I was an AS, ground support equipment.
An AS?
Yep.
Oh,
yep,
okay.
Yep. So, yeah, I spent
working on those T-45s or whatever they were.
There you go. There you go. Good old school. Well, thank you. Yep. Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you for yours, too.
Thank you.
And when, like I said, selling back early, the Excel, yeah, I remember that, too, because one of the first lots I ever sold on was a Honda lot.
Oh, yeah?
And they got a bad rap back in 96, 97, but if I recall correctly, they had a Mitsubishi engine in them.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
It wasn't a Honda engine.
Transmission.
So I guess back in the 90s, 2000s, they started building their own engines.
Correct. Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's when Hyundai first got started with that car, and they did have a Mitsubishi engine, and it was a carbureted Mitsubishi engine. There are two things that motor did a lot. It never passed smog very easy, and it leaked oil like heck.
You remember the standard tranny on it? It has vacuum controlled fifth gear on it.
Yeah, and the transmission had a vacuum controlled fifth gear that used to have all kinds of servo issues on
that
it.
That was Mitsubishi too.
Yeah, it was the whole drivetrain of that car. So kind of like the Yugo, the whole drivetrain in the Yugo was Renault. The transmission engine was Renault. Yugo didn't build their own engine or transmission. So in a lot of car manufacturers actually do that starting out, like Hyundai did, and Yugo they. It's cheaper to buy something that's already put together and build your car around it. And that's what they did.
Yeah, this Malibu is a 2.0 turbo, and it has, I think, a Mitsubishi turbo in it.
Well, so. Yeah, they do a lot of that. So nowadays, though, like GM obviously builds their own engines, but nowadays a lot of times they will purchase different items that work well. So, you know, whatever the turbo's made by, whoever they want, you know, that turbo looked good, and they engineer and use that turbo to put on the car.
GM had a lot to do with Mitsubishi in the day anyway, so
they did.
Sometimes they subcontract their own companies to build engines for themselves.
Yep. which is very true.
I remember selling Neons back then, and they had Mitsubishi's engines, too. So
Chrysler's, yeah. Well, and, yeah. And Chrysler got in with Dodge real, or Dodge got, Chrysler got in with Mitsubishi real heavy for quite a while, too. So it's just one of those things they do. Sometimes they crossbreed them. Well, if you were to buy a Mazda pickup truck for several years, it was a Ford Ranger with,
Ford.
With different badges on it. Yeah.
Okay. So. But we're still seeing it because General Motors and Ford still runs the same platform on their transmissions in their cars right now. Because the 6F50 and the 6T50 are the same. Well, I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, but they're the same transmission. The little valve body's a little bit different, but you can see it's all the same. Same platform.
Yeah. So
everything's gonna be a
crossbreeding them.
Universal car.
There you go. Yeah. Someday.
Someday I'll get a '66 Thunderbird like my first car, or '67 Cougar.
And
nice. Then I'll be done.
That will be all Ford, my friend.
And I'll bring it to you guys for the carburetors.
There you go. Hey Lloyd, good talking to you. Thanks for the call, and be all safe and have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you guys too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
Always good to hear from folks. It's funny because he said Memphis. I was like, I know where he's talking about. They don't have an A school there anymore. Doesn't exist. They moved it.
Memphis has grown up a lot.
Well, this was Millington. This is outside of Memphis, like 20 miles out of Memphis. It was called Millington, Tennessee.
You know what, though? Memphis is big enough now that Millington and Memphis probably touch. You know what I mean? Well, kind of like, you know how North County and... You know, in Temecula and everything, it's like almost one thing now.
Yeah, but it's still different names.
Well, it's still different names, but it's
still in the same spot, I guarantee you. So it's all good. All right, folks, give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break here real quick, and we'll be back right back after these messages. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. See you in a moment.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Oh, mercy.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day.
To be out driving. Actually, you know what? Because the deserts are doing really, like I heard they're really, really busy right now.
You think?
Yeah, a lot of people are,
it's going into the wintertime. That's when desert season starts.
I was going to say, it's also Thanksgiving break for most of these people, too.
The people that weren't working are back to work again. So, going to the desert is a good place to be for socializing. I mean, because of the distancing, you know what I'm saying?
Are we still doing that?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, great. Well, you know. One of those things. I don't know. Seems like things have gotten semi back to normal. Semi, as far as that goes, right?
I guess. Sure.
So
I'm still in the same thing, kind of, sort of. So I'm not.
There you go. So, anyway, but no, it is desert season. So, and I'm sure this year, we'll remember. I mean, we used to go out for Thanksgiving and stuff like that. Ocotillo Wells and all that would be just jammed with people.
I try to avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just me. It's like I like going on the off weekend, so.
Well, that's true. But a lot of people have time off right now, so, for the holidays. So they get out to the desert.
No, I understand. I mean, that's some people, that's their socialization. That, you know what I mean? It, depending what job you work and stuff like that, you know, you get to your weekend, you want socialization. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with people all week, you know, you get to your weekend, you're like, want the opposite.
It might just be family time for them.
Exactly.
Socialization.
That's my way of socializing. And I like that kind of socialization. But, you know.
All right, folks, give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about, for sure. Do you want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other battery at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. Interstates are the number one technician recommended battery. There is no question about it. If you were to check under the hood of our vehicles, you're going to find an Interstate battery for sure. If you need a battery for a vehicle, hop on westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment, get in, we'll get you an Interstate battery installed. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate battery, a battery for every need. They're good stuff for sure. Oh, so today we're talking about proper information to get your vehicle fixed right. Most, including the West Automotive Group, when you bring your vehicle in, we want nothing more than to get you squared away right away. Were you going to say something? No? Okay. moving on. My point to that is, so we always are looking for information from you to try to figure out what your concern with the vehicle is, what it's doing, so we can duplicate it, and we can get it fixed, right?
Yes.
It just makes life easier for everybody, for sure.
Well, the more information, it makes it easier on everybody because, A, number one, you're going to get your car back faster. It's easier to go straight to it. Cause, I mean, I could walk into the doctor and go, I'm not feeling well. Figure it out. Okay, well, or I could go in and go, look, it's right there in my elbow.
My elbow hurts. That's right. Exactly. No, I get it. And that's the big difference about things and knowing. And so we often tell folks, we ask a ton of questions when you bring your vehicle in usually. So such things as like, you know, when does it do it? Does it do it when it's cold? Does it do it when it's going up a hill? Have you been driving a while? How far do you got to drive? Does it make a noise? Does it make a sound? Does it do it? What, you know, is there a vibration? Depending on what it is, there's all these questions that we try to ask to give. And that's the service consultant trying to get enough information to put down to give the technician so he can go out and duplicate it and pinpoint your problem, right?
Right.
That's what we try to do. So that's why all those questions come in. So it becomes important to, if you're having like an intermittent concern or it's a vibration concern or it's a noise concern, to kind of notate, when does this happen? It's not a bad idea to keep a piece of paper and a pad of paper and a pen to write things down. Like, you know what? I noticed that this happens first thing in the morning when I start the vehicle, or I notice, it's after I've been driving and I'm on the freeway and I climb in a hill, or I notice that when going around a corner, making a right or left turn, or so there's all these different things that can help pinpoint what it's doing, and therefore from that, make it do it and can come up with an answer to why it's doing it, right?
Yes. So,
for sure. You know,
kind of like what you learn in science class.
How to make something happen.
Yes.
Okay. True. So,
but there is a process to making things happen.
It's very true. And so in each concern, obviously, has a different kind of a problem with it, you know, so are caused a different way. So one, and like I said, it can be hot or cold. It can be, driving uphill after you've been driving for a while. It's certain speeds. Certain loads on the vehicle, turning left, right, backing up. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, let's say if you had a problem backing up, that car made a noise, you just came in and said, my car makes a noise. Well, maybe it's backing up a hill. Well, we would probably not back it up a hill while we're trying to road test it, no? So we wouldn't find it, right?
There's a lot of just backing up the hill. I mean, most of the time when someone hears a noise backing up a hill, they have a weight behind it too, meaning like a trailer.
Yep, which is good information. Yeah.
There's just the little things that could make everything a lot quicker.
Well, or you may never find it. If it only happens backing up a hill with a trailer on it, you don't say that. You can back it up a hill all you want. It probably won't happen.
Exactly. That was another thing. When I see these lists of the most common things wrong, I don't, a lot of times, me personally, I never got to see those problems because by the time it got to me, it was, my car won't move anymore. You know what I'm saying? So
dealing with transmission issues.
Yeah, but I mean, in a lot of my, even when I dealt with other parts of the car, I was more of the extreme part, you know? So I used to go, no way. But you know what? Then I look about it and I go, you know what? Them problems really are there. I just never really got to see them because by the time it got to me, it was just destroyed. And it was.
We were talking about this earlier this week also. So like, you know, if a customer says, I'm having this problem, you know, with my vehicle. Some things you would say in your head, it's not related to this or that. But too many times I've seen things come in and then it's like, it is, they're like, whoa, it is related to that or whatever. So you just never know. There's so many different things that can happen with a vehicle that, yeah. So getting the proper information to pinpoint and really the key to anything with diagnosis is reproducing it.
Yes.
So if you reproduce it, then you can kind of figure out, you know, why it's doing it, what's doing it, where it's coming from, what system's involved in it, and go from there, which is extremely important. There's no question about it. So in doing so, then you get to the bottom of it, you figure it out, and you find out why it's doing it or whatever. There's so many things that can go wrong with a car, am I right?
Yes.
Or is it just a couple?
Well, even you just mentioning that, my head starts to freak out anyways, because, you know, just nearly the simple word is, how many codes can a vehicle produce?
Well, that's so, a lot.
That's my point.
Well, especially these days. I mean, that you're just talking about electronic problems, but now.
My check engine's like, well, what do you think the problem is? As my brain's freaking out.
And that's a good question why we ask. Is there any... Well, the first question we always ask if you say, I have a malfunction indicator light or check engine light, first question always is there any drivability concerns with it? In other words, is there anything the car's doing, or is it just driving perfectly normal, right?
Yes.
Because if you have drivability concerns with a vehicle, then it starts leading you down a path. Yes, the check engine light came on. It picked up a problem. Something's wrong. But my car also... feels like it's rattling when it's running or it's running rough or what. Those are indications that, okay, we have a rough running condition. Or, hey, my car drives just fine. There's no concerns, you know. Or my car is harder to start since the check engine light came on or whatever it might be. You know, yeah. Like cranks over an extended period of time, whatever. All those things are good notable items that you should write down and notate. And when you take your vehicle in for service, make your service provider well aware of it, right?
You know, I've sent people home a couple times like that with a pad of paper or pencil.
Yeah, we have.
And I'm like, as soon as you safe and pull over, write down what you just thought you seen. Because there are some slight problems with cars that somebody's owned the car for a very long time. And they're like, just every once in a while, it does it to me and I don't like it. But I want to keep the car, you know what I mean? So it's worth, you know, involving. But all the little things can help everybody get through that process faster. So it can save you money because obviously when you're paying someone to keep going over and over something and they can't find something, I mean, somebody's got to get paid, right?
Well, so, you got to spend a bunch of time doing it, but you really want to spend the least amount of time as possible.
Well, yes. To out. Yeah.
So, but we do see vehicles with items. Like, my favorite one is like, I've had a couple people that were like, so about 95 mile an hour, my car does this. Well, don't drive 95 mile an hour because we can't. We can't go out and drive your car 95 mile an hour. That's actually illegal, just so you understand.
Okay, well, I do remember like the late 80s, early 90s when Chevrolet's slogan for their Corvette, because that was when they came out with the ZR1, right? Uh-huh. Life begins at 180 mile an hour. That was their T-shirt. I mean, that was their slogan.
You can't legally drive. Well, yeah, but
these people.
Fast.
I remember Chevrolet back then. These people bring their cars in it at 150 mile an hour. My car. And then the service yard is handing this to you, and you're like,
what would you like me to do about
it? Didn't you tell me you would fire me for this?
Exactly. So. Some things can't be reproduced, nor should they be. Although you can look at a vehicle sometimes, let's say they say they're, the hardest part with that would be like, I'm getting a vibration at 150 mile an hour. Okay, well, we should probably road balance your tires. That's about the best I can do. You know, remember how we used to road, I think they still have those road force balancers. Remember them? Cadillac used them a lot, and they would push the tire down on rollers. So they called it road force balancing. It's an expensive balancer. Usually when you got things like that, you just tell somebody that drives a vehicle like, hey, look, we can't drive it that fast, but probably what we need to do is balance the tires and we'll look to make sure that we don't see anything weird going on, but we're not driving your car 150 mile an hour down the road.
Yeah, but back
there's
then
way too much liability that.
Well, that's
not normally
you're like looking at the foreman like, you dude, and the service writer, you know what they know? I mean, because it's not, they just write the ticket. Well, it's not, but it's complaint. What are they going to do?
Well, they're giving you good information at least.
I know.
Because they, you, that's when it happened. So, I mean, yeah. Probably not the best idea. We don't, by the way, all us people that own auto repair facilities and stuff, we don't have a super track behind our facility that you can take the car out on.
Well, we could build one, but it's going to cost more money to have your car worked on because we have to add into that. To
yeah,
the,
you think?
I'd be okay building one too because I'd be thinking of it kind of cool to have a racetrack in the backyard.
It's going to have to be a pretty big racetrack if you're going to go 150 mile an hour.
What was it like in the 50s or something? Fiat and them guys over there in Germany or whatever they or whoever. I know Fiat's Italian, but there was a couple like the German automobiles companies, but they had one of them where they had racetracks on top of the corporate buildings.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. It remember. Was probably just a PR thing, but, you know, things like that worked back in the day.
Yeah, I get it. It is what it is. But most of them have, like, serious test tracks.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's a PR thing. A lot, you know, some of it is. Because especially European racing is way different than it is over here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, all carmen, even like up in Michigan, Chevrolet and all them, they have test tracks. They run.
Oh yeah. No, so. I'm just saying. Even it just seems like auto racing and like motorcycle racing in Europe is, or you know, like a European thing. You know, like even the Soviets. But I'm just saying, that's just something that's just like
it's big.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Well, auto racing is pretty big here. You ever heard of NASCAR?
No, it is big. I'm just saying, though, but there it's like, you know, here we're kind of divided on it. You know, like, I have people in NFL, this, and this, but there it's like, that's their, you know what I mean? They're either auto racing or they're playing football, soccer.
I was going to say soccer is really big.
But they call it football.
They do. Football. Well, actually, we're the only people that call football something different in the United States because even South America and all that, soccer is their football thing. So, which means a lot because they kick the ball with their foot.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I don't know what we're doing.
Well, we kick
should
the
be
ball.
Our, not much. We really run Once. With it. We should be calling it handball. But that was already taken.
They
by
kick
another
it like
sport.
Four or five times during the game.
Jeez. Interesting. But it is what it is. But yes. Car racing and motorcycle racing is big over in Europe and stuff, for sure. Yeah, no question about it. So, good stuff.
You know, the thing is, even when you're watching, like, a European race or something, they always make it sound, you know, because the European guys doing the announcing and stuff, it even sounds more elegant, you know, when they're racing.
More elegant.
It does. I just,
it
you know
what? It
sounds
different. But, yes, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. So, the point we're getting at is, yes, some of these things are hard to reproduce or you can't physically reproduce them on a car. So, but it is very important. And I guess the best thing out of all of this I could say is just notating a concern you have and when it happens or how it happens once again. So, you know, does it happen when the car's cold? Does it happen when, you know, you first start the car only? Does it happen? Does the car have to be in sitting? You know, so sometimes we get folks like, happens first thing in the morning on the way to work. And if I drive it during the day, it's fine. But if it sits all day long and then I leave work at 5, it happens again then. So it lets us know the car has to be cold for it to happen, you know. So other times it's like I have to drive 5 miles before it starts happening. Or, you know, there's all different kinds of things that can happen with a car, right?
Yes.
So notating those items, no matter how it is or when it happens, you know, going up a hill, turning right, turning left, backing up with a trailer on the vehicle. I can go on and on. There's so many things that you could write down, but we're looking for the items that obviously when this happens to your vehicle or when the concern happens on your vehicle, that way we can get you straightened up because it makes it way easier to produce if we could produce it, I should say.
Well, and finding the problem is only part of it. Then you got to fix the problem. I mean, you know, especially on a noise.
But finding the problem is a start. If you can't, I mean, reproducing it actually is a start. Then you can find it. Then you can start to figure out what's causing it. Then you can fix it.
Yes.
That's how it works. So, but yes, it, you know, if it's a noise often, especially if we have a vehicle that makes multiple noises, we'll drive with the client for sure. All right, let's grab Lou, it looks like, in Chula Vista. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good.
What you got going on?
I have a 2008 Grand Marquis, and my air conditioner doesn't work right. It just doesn't blow.
It's a 2008 what?
Mercury Grand Marquis.
Oh, Mercury Grand Marquis. Okay. It doesn't blow any air at all?
It doesn't blow any air at all. It's on and it makes noise, but it doesn't blow.
Huh. So it is the... Is the air coming out of a different spot, possibly, instead of the dash towards you? Could it be coming out of the defrost up onto the wind?
I tried resetting it to different sections, but it still doesn't blow out the front. It doesn't come out the front.
Oh, it doesn't come out the front. So it is blowing air. Is it coming out the defrost onto the windshield all the time?
Or floor, maybe?
You know, speaking of that, the defrost works okay, but the air conditioner itself doesn't.
Gotcha. So probably what's going on is a door that actually in there, its job is to control the direction of airflow.
They call it a blend door. Okay.
A blend door is for temperature. So
that's true.
It's the actuator doors. So it yes. either goes defrost, heat, and it directs where the air goes. Does it go on your feet? Does it go on the dash vents to blow out on you? Does it go on the defrost vent that blows on the window? And there's a couple different things that can cause that issue. So what's probably happening is one of those doors is... Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, is that one... is this the thing? Is it vacuum controlled?
You said 96, right?
It's 2008.
2008, yeah. No, it's not vacuum controlled. I doubt it.
Well, they do make a few... The only reason I was asking is just... It doesn't mean that the actuator is bad. You might not have no vacuum to it. This is where diagnosis comes in. It's really important.
Correct, yes. So something is not moving the doors properly in there. In other words, and you're ending up with the air probably coming out the wrong area. When I say that Kevin's right, I mean, it could be a control head problem. Could be an actuator problem. Could be a door stuck problem. There's a lot of things that could cause that. Most likely it's in one of the problems with the door. Something's not telling it to do it, or it's not doing it properly.
Okay. Now my next question would be, you have four different services or places to go to. Which one do you recommend?
Well, they all have master technicians at them. They all do a great job. It depends on where are you located at, sir?
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I just want to go to the best place you have. You have four. And one of them has 28 years, and the other one has two and four or eight. I would rather go to the best place you recommend.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, Escondido's the biggest store, but all the guys that work for me, all four locations, and I manage all of them with my general manager, so they all put out the same quality. I mean, whatever's close to you works just fine. So it's not a problem. And if you're down here and you're in Chula Vista, so I would say either El Cajon or Kearny Mesa, either one. Kearny Mesa is a great store. So I mean, so is El Cajon. So, but whichever's closer to you.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem, sir. Hey, thanks for the call and thanks for being a listener. You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Hey, I'm going down there. Have it checked out, okay?
Yeah, do so. And they're open Monday through Friday, okay?
Okay.
All right, Lou. Take care.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. So, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
What, you know, because it can be frustrating. I remember the old days, the vacuum reservoir used to break on the pit. Like my 97 had a vacuum reservoir, and once the reservoir broke on it, it started leaking, or the line broke to the reservoir. It wouldn't change because it was vacuum operated. So no matter what setting you put it on,
goes to the default or wherever,
it would blow out the defrost. Oh, all the air came out there, no matter what. It would never change.
So it really wasn't
a broken backing line, and
that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't a door problem.
It wasn't really a problem with the system. It was a problem with something that controlled the system.
Yeah, those are called mode doors.
Yeah,
by the way.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, but the mode door would never move because it
had
no vacuum to it. Yeah.
And that's where the default was.
So it was a door problem, but the problem was that it wasn't getting vacuum.
It didn't have no supply to the... Yeah.
2008, that's probably electronic. It's a GM product. They have mode door actuator.
You know what? Like,
My S10?
It's not a 2008.
It's 2003, though, and it's still got a bunch of vacuum controlled. Yeah. Like, matter of fact, because the transfer case, matter of fact, this happened on mine, too, that I have right now. The vacuum controlled the transfer case and the thing. Uh-huh. Well, the switch in the transfer case would go bad, and it would start sucking training fluid out of it, and it would pull it up into the vacuum thing. So my blend door or mode door is messed up right now, too. I have to find a canister for it. I did die, I went through the thing and found out where my problem is, but it was from that training fluid being sucked up through the lines, and then it damaged the O-ring inside that canister.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so that for sure. That can happen.
Because them kind of O-rings, the training fluid will destroy them. I mean,
they're not made for that.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying you can have an O-ring that's the same size, but depending what kind of chemical it was in, is depending what it's going to be able to handle it. So it may not be able to handle antifreeze. It may not be able to handle motor oil. Or it may not handle transmission fluid.
Well, it depends on what it was manufactured to do.
Yes.
That's correct. So, for sure. All right, folks. Hey, we appreciate you joining us here at Auto Talk Radio. Once again, another Saturday flown by. Always great to get everybody on and get you called in and talking about automotive stuff. And hopefully you learned some stuff and enjoyed the Saturday with us. So, everybody out there, San Diego and everybody, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. And stay tuned for more Auto Talk Radio next Saturday. Have a wonderful Turkey Day, by the way. And enjoy yourself. So we won't be back till after Thanksgiving, 2 days after. We will be back next Saturday. San Diego and everybody else out there listening, be safe. Have a great weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving. See you next Saturday. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.